presented by Groundwork Collaborative.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Monday, June 3rd, and here's what's driving the day. It's musical chairs at the Washington Post. Executive editor Sally Busby is stepping down after just a few years atop the legacy paper. The former editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal, Matt Murray, is taking over through the election. Then Robert Winnett, a deputy editor at the Telegraph Media Group in Britain, is going to be taking over indefinitely. Busby's exit isn't entirely surprising, though it certainly was sudden last night. For years, Washington Post insiders, a lot of my former colleagues when I worked there, said she wasn't right for the job and expected her to leave eventually, but everyone was surprised last night when the move came out so suddenly. For more on that, you should read Playbook. After weeks of Trump's trial, it's now Hunter Biden's turn to face the legal system. His trial over an unlawful gun purchase begins in Wilmington, Delaware today, where he is in the doghouse for allegedly lying on a gun application by hiding his crack cocaine addiction. It's going to be a difficult week, not just for Hunter Biden, but his dad. The president, who rode bikes with Hunter this weekend, has struggled not only with his son's problem with addiction, but worried about his criminal exposure as well. He speaks to him on a daily basis, and that communication is expected to continue as the president travels overseas this week. The trial will also showcase the Biden family's messy drama, including Hunter's affair with his deceased brother Beau's widow. She, as well as Hunter's ex-wife, could be called to the witness stand. And just a reminder that this is only the beginning of the legal problems for Biden. Hunter also faces charges for tax evasion in LA, and that trial is expected to happen in September. Trump's conviction fallout is coming to Congress. Lawmakers return from recess and are eager to tussle over this news that Donald Trump is now a convicted felon. Let's start on the campaign trail. Today in Montana, Republican candidate Tim Sheehy will cut the first Trump conviction-themed campaign ad of the cycle, we can report this morning. The new ad tries to tie Senator John Tester with what Republicans are calling a state-sponsored political prosecution led by Joe Biden and the radical left, and of course trying to throw Trump in jail. The ad underscores how bullish Republicans are about capitalizing off of Trump's new status as a convicted felon, particularly in red states like Montana and Ohio, their best chances of retaking the majority. In fact, the NRSC told Playbook last night that it raised over $1 million in small-dollar online donations in the 2 days following the verdict. Yes, that might seem like small potatoes compared to what Trump raised in recent days, but nonetheless, it's the NRSC's most profitable 48 hours this cycle. Meanwhile, Senate Republican campaign types are cautiously optimistic about how Maryland GOP hopeful Larry Hogan played this whole matter, despite the fact that he infuriated Trump's inner circle by saying everyone should, quote, respect the verdict. Republicans think that the former governor is actually playing the politics of this right, given the left-leaning tilt of his state. Notably, NRSC Chairman Steve Daines told Fox News over the weekend that he still supports Hogan. That's despite saying he personally disagrees with the candidate's perception of the verdict. Now, Hogan didn't get the same ringing endorsement from RNC co-chair Laura Trump, who declined to say on CNN yesterday whether the committee still supports him. Of course, smart Senate watchers will tell you Hogan actually doesn't need the RNC's money. He's already attracting deep-pocketed GOP donors who want to support Republicans, but who aren't comfortable giving to Trump. Meanwhile, back on the Hill, conservatives in the Senate are vowing to try to grind the Senate to a halt in protest over this Trump conviction. Senator Mike Lee and a band of high-profile conservatives say they're going to refuse to give unanimous consent for any items going forward. Now, Democrats are downplaying this threat. They argue that, number one, most must-pass legislation has already been taken care of this year, and that's true. And number two, this isn't exactly the, quote, governing caucus. A lot of these conservatives, they're already holding up nominees. That is also true. But a closer look at the calendar this year suggests that this effort could indeed cause Chuck Schumer a headache, particularly for nominations. So far this year, almost half of non-military and non-foreign service nominees have been confirmed by voice vote. That's a total of 46. Presumably, most of these moved by unanimous consent. Now, Chuck Schumer will not be getting UC for any of these, which forces him to trudge through cloture votes as well as debate. That eats up precious floor time, potentially taking away from messaging bills, like the contraception legislation Schumer is going to be advancing this week. Plus, the calendar is already slimmed back because it's an election year, so time is very valuable right now. Over in the House, Marjorie Taylor Greene is planning to reinvigorate her push to defund special counsel Jack Smith. Shocker there. As you'll recall, Speaker Mike Johnson told Playbook just a few weeks ago that this idea is virtually unworkable. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is not going to stop there. She's also planning to push a, quote, defund New York effort, basically keeping the blue state from receiving any federal funds for things like education and healthcare and the like, all because the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, secured a conviction of Trump. Now, she could pick up some MAGA hardliners for support in the House, but what is more certain is the fact that this will complicate Johnson's hope to pass appropriations bills this summer. This was always going to be a heavy lift for Johnson, given his slim margin, but the defund effort is going to divide his conference even further. And for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate and House are in. It's going to be a short week since a bunch of lawmakers in both chambers are headed to Normandy for the D-Day anniversary. And this afternoon, President Biden will travel to Connecticut, where he'll participate in a campaign reception. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Our tax code isn't fair, and it's time to fix it. For too long, the tax code has been slanted towards the wealthy and large corporations. As a result, the economy and our country has suffered. The expiration of key provisions of the Trump tax law in 2025 is a rare opportunity to reform the tax code to make it fair, raise revenue, and support equitable economic growth.